guys more. I'm going to give a presentation here of the ministry, but I also want to take questions. As I mentioned, we're on deputation, so we haven't yet moved to the field. We have had two opportunities to be there on a short-term basis. And so we also don't know everybody here that well, and you don't know us that well, but we would like to know it. Would like to know you better. And so after I give the presentation, if you have questions, I'm going to take a few minutes and you can ask questions about myself or my family or ministry, anything like that, so that we can hopefully be able to connect better with you. But picture here is of some men there in South Africa. As you know, we are going to be in South Africa. The region we're going to be in is in a town called Knysna. It has a K, but it's a silent K, and so it's kind of pronounced as you would tell somebody to be nice. It's Knysna. There are over 76,000 people that live in this region of South Africa, and so we are extremely grateful to be there. If you haven't had a chance to meet my family, here's a picture of them. Tori and I will have been married 15 years this October. And God has given us four wonderful children. So our oldest son, Hudson, is 11. And then Zachary is 9. Nate is 6. And Amalia is 5. And you can also call her Molly. But we're extremely grateful for the children that God has given to us. Tori and I were both exposed to the gospel at an early age. Excuse me, I just leave it right there. And God graciously led us to turn from our sin. As young people, I think I'll share more of my testimony on another night when I have an opportunity to speak to you. But the Lord brought the gospel to my home. It wasn't a Christian home or a long line of believers, but the Lord graciously saved my parents. And so I heard the gospel as a kid. Growing up in Phoenix, Arizona, I don't know if you might know Brother Dick Mercado. That's the ministry that I was brought to Christ under as an 8-year-old boy. And then my wife grew up in New Jersey and came to Christ there as a young girl. And so we were married, as I said, in 2007. And since then, the Lord has given us opportunities to serve through various church ministries. Before we were married, I had an opportunity to serve at a church in Washington State, up in really a logging country, beautiful, beautiful area of the country, about an hour and a half north of Seattle, up just going up I-5. And there was a town there, a small town there called Cedro Woolley. And First Baptist of Cedro Woolley was pastored by a man there who formerly was from Michigan, and he pastored the church there. And he gave me opportunity for about 2 years to pastor the youth ministry there. Really a great, great opportunity. And I think for him, a really gracious thing to do since I was so new, and I'm sure made a lot of mistakes, but things went well enough that he gave me opportunity and after opportunity to do it for about 2 years. Then we met in Bible school at Bob Jones University. And then while I was finishing up my seminary degree, we were there at College Park, the church where we were married. And I was the assistant to the pastor, kind of like an admin assistant there for the pastor. But I did a lot of also pastoral things, teaching and preaching, and also would clean the church. In the evenings after my other job, I'd come over and clean the church up in the evening. And then in the morning, of course, I would have to field all the complaints about how I'd forgotten to clean a certain part of the ladies' bathroom. And the ladies were upset, you know, and the pastor would have to tell me, you know, Frank, you really got to fix this problem, you know. So that was a good ministry opportunity there, too, at College Park. And then in 2014, we had an opportunity to go to Pennsylvania, Chester County, Pennsylvania, and I was an assistant pastor there for 6 years at a church there in Chester County, and actually that's where we were first introduced to South Africa. We were at the time just working there, met a couple who eventually went to South Africa, and I'll tell you more about this in a little bit. I'll give you the short version here. They were going to South Africa. We became good friends with them. And so I wanted to bring them to our church and to support them. And so we brought them over to our church there in Pennsylvania. The church still supports them to this day. And in 2020, Tori and I decided, let's go visit them and let's see what they actually do. We thought we could use a vacation ourselves. And so just Tori and I, we had somebody who could watch our children for us. And we decided, let's go all the way to South Africa and let's see what they're doing. Little did we know that that was what the Lord would use to plant this idea of missionary work in our minds. What I thought was going to be vacation, what I thought was going to be pastoral ministry, visiting my missionary and coming back to the States and telling him what he does, just started something that we couldn't get away from. We were constantly talking about it. We were praying about it. Eventually, not that I put a lot of stock in this, but my wife would dream about it sometimes. And think like, man, this is something that we just keep thinking about and keep talking about and praying about. And so last July, 2021, we took a second trip because we thought, Lord, I don't know for sure if this is what you're doing, but I know that it just doesn't seem to go away. And so we're going to go again and we're going to ask you, God, that you would make it really clear. And we're even going to bring two of our kids this time to help us to understand what's going on, because we know that our two oldest, it's going to affect their lives the most. And so we took our two oldest sons and we wanted their feedback on it. And so after that trip, when we just came back, I think even just more convinced, Lord, this is what you want us to do. This is the path that you have been laying for us. As we think about it, really now, the friends that we met there in South Africa, we first met them in 2015, not knowing that that relationship would then bring forth this long path and would bring forth the fruit where we would say, yes, Lord, we're going to go to South Africa and we're going to serve you there as well too. And so that's what we're really excited about doing there and working as church planters there in South Africa. So let me just kind of give us briefly an idea of where we are going to be. So, of course, this is the continent of Africa. It's the second largest, of course, of all the continents in the world. The country of South Africa there has 59 million people. That's really known for its variety in culture and languages and geography and religions. And, of course, it has the nickname of being the Rainbow Nation. South Africa is divided into 9 large provinces. I guess you can kind of compare them to states here in America. And the land mass of South Africa as a whole, just as a comparison, is almost twice the size of Texas. So if you're going to take 2 states of Texas, that's about the size of South Africa. So it's a fairly large country. We don't always get that when you look at a map, of course. We are going to be located in the green one there, the Western Cape. So there's a beautiful province there along what's called the Garden Route of the country. And the town that I've mentioned there is this little, I don't know if you can see the little red star there that appears. That's the town of Knysna there. This is technically on the Indian Ocean. As another point of reference, you probably have heard of Cape Town or Johannesburg. Cape Town would be to our west on the Atlantic Ocean, and it's really about 6 hours from where we are. Joburg or Johannesburg would be really kind of northeast of us, and it's about 12 and a half hour drive from us, so a good ways away. I was just talking to Brother Steve earlier about the riots that happened last year. Some of you may remember, and it was up kind of in that northern region from us. And so even though we were in the country when some of that rioting was going on, it was a good distance away from us. So if you were to Google Knysna, you're talking about that, how people can just Google stuff, right, so easily, and you could do it even now, which you shouldn't do that now, don't do that now, but you can do it later, right? Knysna is a gorgeous area. This is a picture of what's called one of them, the Knysna Head. There's another one there that's off frame there to the side there, the other Knysna Heads. You're looking out at the Indian Ocean there, and then that water is meeting with a river and kind of a lagoon area there that comes from the inland. Years ago, they wanted to make this a bay area, but the water there, as you can see, is incredibly rough. And so they abandoned the idea after a shipwreck or two. But it's a beautiful area that's highlighted as a vacation destination, or as they like to say, a holiday destination, right? Europeans, and for even Americans as well. And so you'll see boating and water sports and shoreline shops there along the water that make it seem like a really beautiful and carefree location, but it really is in many ways a facade. It's a facade for the deep spiritual and physical needs of the people that live there. And so I want to just briefly talk about just some of the physical things that go on there in the country of South Africa. So there, the population there is weighed down by a poor economy, where over 30% of the country is unemployed. The last statistic I saw was 34.6% or something like that. When you Google Knysna, this is probably not the first photograph that's going to come up. But this is in Knysna. So the majority of the 76,000 people that live there live in this region. This is what's called a township. So if you know a little bit about South Africa, you probably remember the days of apartheid, which of course ended in the mid-90s, but there are vast remnants still of that, even since Nelson Mandela and the end of apartheid. And so townships exist all over. South Africa is this unusual mix of first and third world countries where you have luxury and beauty, especially in Cape Town. It's a gorgeous city. And yet you can go a little ways into certain parts of the city and you'll find miles, I mean, not small, but miles and miles of slums like this where people live a very, very different life from the ones that you'll see on your Google search. And so many of these people will make the equivalency, if you might want to say, like, if you made $17 a day, imagine trying to live on that. This is what they're making. And so the area is constantly plagued with political corruption. That's what the riot was last year, was over a former president that was corrupt. And so also, of course, still racial inequalities. Many of these people live without electricity or indoor plumbing. The South African government began providing homes after the end of apartheid. And so some of those stucco homes there you see, there are some of those being built in the townships, but you oftentimes have to wait 10 years to get your home built. And so you go on through this waiting list in order for that to be done. The streets there are full of children. In the townships, lots and lots of children, very few older people. The average life expectancy in South Africa is in the mid-60s. Imagine it's probably less than that in the township. But there are the opportunities to minister to children is incredible. The teens that you can see there along the streets. And so we were burdened then to do ministry amongst as many people as God would allow us, but this is one of the burdens that we have is amongst the young people there. So let me just kind of tell you a little bit, even though about the physical needs that are great, the spiritual needs are, of course, greater. And so we're going to look a little bit about some of that. We had opportunities to take the kids there to visit with some of the children there in the township there in Knysna. I'll show you here. Quickly, that's Zachary there, as we had opportunity to be there. I don't know if you can see that. The little girl actually has a trach installed. And she was there wanting to get a piece of candy from us as we were visiting there in the township. So the need there is great. This is a Roman Catholic church that is there in Knysna. South Africa is broadly considered a Christian nation. And this goes back to definitely the beginnings of the country and to Cape Town as a port and to Dutch Orthodoxy and things like that coming into the country. And it's being Christian, but in many ways, the Christianity is in name only. So there you can find Catholicism, you can find Mormons, you can find Jehovah's Witnesses there in Knysna itself. Much of the Christianity then too is also taught through the charismatic and Pentecostal church. And so the prosperity gospel is one of the biggest problems that we will struggle with. And so this is, of course, as you many of you know, a gospel that will preach a Jesus that if you come to Jesus, that he will take away your sickness and brings prosperity and health, of course, to you and to your children and to your crops. And so you give to him what he wants and he will give to you what you want. And so in where you are with people who have very many physical needs, this is attractive. And so our hope then and our desire and our prayer is to present a Christianity that is clear, that is biblical, and that speaks then to the truth of the gospel, that the biggest thing that people need is reconciliation with their Creator. And so we are going to be there working amongst the people there, not only in the charismatic, but even Rastafarianism. This is a picture there in the township. Of course, Rastafarianism is a Jamaican warping of Christianity, some Bible twisted and drug use, and Africa is the promised land. And so this even finds a place there. Tribal paganism as well still exists through the region. We are going to be amongst the Xhosa tribe of Nisna, and they would continue to teach that prayers ought to be made to ancestors and divine spirits and witch doctors. There are, even because of some of these practices, there are immoral expectations pressed upon boys when they turn 16. South Africa, really a lot like America, is a very promiscuous country. I'll tell you one quick story. I remember going into the township one day with our partners there, and we visited this youth center that was next to a library, and there were a lot of young people playing soccer, football, whatever, there out in the field. And we went into the center to talk to the leader because we were looking for somebody specifically, and we thought maybe he would know. And I'd never been in there, and so my friend is talking to him, and I'm just kind of looking around the facility and just trying to get an understanding of what happens there. And there are posters along the walls in support of abortion and things there too, and these are for young girls to be able to be aware, like, hey, we can help you with this. And I remember looking at a table on the side and thinking, like, oh, they in my naivety, and being naive, I looked over and thought, well, those must be granola bars that they had set out for the kids, boxes, colorful boxes on the table. And for those of you, I think that you're aware of, they were not granola bars. Okay, they were there for the young people to take. And so this is something where, as a young man, you're expected to father a child. Young women are discouraged from being allowed to be married until they can prove that they can bear children. And so the proving of bearing children comes before actual marriage. And so this is also one of the struggles that we'll have there, is the way of thinking that they have about these kinds of things. And so this is a picture of some of the young men who have gone through a ritual then of manhood, and because of some of the practices there and some of these things, I mean, it could even just be things in some areas of just circumcision, but also then too in others, this is why some of the crimes are committed against young ladies there in the country. So then our work, of course, is going to be in the power of the gospel to share the truth of God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we arrive in Nisna, our work will begin by continuing to bring stability and leadership to Lakeside Baptist Church, or Lakeside Ministries as a church and also a small Bible institute. And so they are in need of a native pastor, a South African pastor. This church was started by another American missionary years ago, and just needs a trained national pastor. And so we are there to assist them and to help them. And my desire is within maybe 3 years or so to help them. And we've been connected with a seminary in Zambia where they teach, but also then too through the Bible Institute there at Lakeside as well. And so our passion then is to teach these new believers to make new disciples, to spread the gospel throughout the region. This was a Sunday service there at Lakeside. As you can see, the Sunday school rooms that they have there. There's a good body of believers that meets there regularly on Sunday. And our partner, that I'll mention here in a little bit, his name and his family, but he's busy there right now pastoring, and we'll continue just to assist him and to help the people to have an indigenous pastor. One of the opportunities that we have there, of course, through outreach, is actually in the public schools. So we were given an opportunity, much like even it was mentioned earlier, where you can go into the public schools. There's a program there called KICS. And we were able to go in for an hour a day, one day a week, and they give you that hour to teach the Bible. In many of their minds, it's character building. They think this is good for the kids. So, yeah, you can come on in and teach the Bible. And so to our surprise and actually really to our delight, Tori and I were given this hour by ourselves with these young people to just be there and to share the gospel with these children. And so we had a wonderful opportunity to do that. I need to keep moving here, but this is a picture of a baby saver box that was recently installed. Baby saver box, we have these here in the U.S. as well, too, where you can leave a child. They're technically actually illegal in South Africa, but they still allow them to be installed if you are with the right people and have the right connections. So there was recently just installed one in Knysna. And so the closest one previous to this was 3 hours away. And so that's a device where somebody can leave a child without having to really give information, and the child can be taken to the proper services and cared for. And so that's part of the ministry that we have there too. In 2019, 10,500 babies, it's a rough statistic, were abandoned in South Africa in 2019. And so this is a huge, huge problem then as well too. Really, even then, to only a third of that 10,500 actually even survived. So let me tell you a little bit then about the team that we're working with. We won't be alone. It first starts off with our church in Westfield, Trinity Baptist Church. It has been a huge blessing to us, as even our pastor was a former missionary in South Africa. So we're grateful to have their participation and partnership with us. And then our mission board is called IBM Global, out of Nashua, New Hampshire. This is my partner that I'll be working with directly, JD and his wife Leah and their two children, Charity and Caleb. JD and Leah have been there for over 3 years now and are excited and really, I'm sure, chomping at the bit for us to get there so we can help them. And so we're excited to be able to be there with them. But we're also part of a greater team called Knysna Hope. Knysna Hope is a collaboration of like-minded, conservative, Orthodox pastors, church planters, as we work together to plant churches in this region. We work together on collaborating strategy, prayer, encouragement, accountability, and all of these just wonderful things of support. But then they also break up in twos and plant churches in one region, and another set of couples plants a church in another region. And so by God's grace and by the partnership of God's people, we are hoping then to join JD and Leah in their work. And so we're excited about this. I think because I probably took too much time, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to be back Wednesday night. So if you have questions then, you can write them down. Hopefully remember them and ask me then on Wednesday night. But let me just close by asking you to pray for us. We need the courage to share the gospel. We need the opportunity to share the gospel, and we just need the words to say. And so we would ask you to pray for us and that you would pray about partnering with us there in the gospel. Thank you very much.